Thank you, Mr. Simkowiak. Good afternoon, everyone. Well, brethren, as has already been mentioned, we are in the midst of the fall holy days. Trumpets is just behind us. Atonement looms just ahead here in the middle of the week here upcoming. And I found myself contemplating, thinking, is there anything special about these days that fall between these two holy days? These holy days serve as bookends around these 9 days that fall between. And so as I contemplated this, I thought, well, maybe there's something that might help me to focus my attention upon where it should be. And so I thought that's what I would share with all of you today. The title for today is simply Between Trumpets and Atonement. And as they taught us in Spokesman Club, what should be our specific purpose? You hear me talk about an SPS. Well, basically, I'm just seeking focus or direction for my thoughts during this time period of approximately a week. Where should my focus be? Well, I brought my Bible along with me, but I also was reminded of a book I have at home. It was given to me several years ago. It's entitled, Courage Was the Rule, General Douglas MacArthur's Own Story. And it is an abridged edition of a book that Douglas MacArthur wrote, a story, a recollection of his reminiscences. And this was copyrighted, printed back in 1964 by Time Incorporated. So it's basically his memoirs, his remarks, his stories. Well, I imagine most of us know who was General Douglas MacArthur. Well, he served in the U.S. military for over 48 years. He was born in 1880 and he died in 1964. And you historians or seniors will long remember he was of critical importance to the Allies back in the Second World War. He was a key strategist. Well, in his memoirs, I found 3 statements of Douglas MacArthur. They're each very short, just 3 words each. And so I have coined these MacArthur's 3 triples. And I thought perhaps they could provide some framework for analysis of our contemplations today. All of his statements relate to the World War II battle for the Philippines. Well, let's jump in. Triple number 1. Now, I'm going to be quoting extensively from Douglas MacArthur's book. In the autumn of 1935, General MacArthur had been sent to the Philippines as a military advisor to organize the national defense in the Philippines. Now, as I've mentioned, you history buffs and seniors will recall the United States was a Johnny-come-lately to enter World War II, and this officially happened only after the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor. In July of 1941, with the war clouds gathering, MacArthur was appointed commander of the U.S. Armed Forces in the Far East. MacArthur quotes, "My orders from Washington were not to initiate hostilities against the Japanese under any circumstances. The first overt move in the Philippines must come only from the enemy." Well, that would not come until December 7th of 1941 with the attack on Pearl Harbor. On December 10th of 1941, the Japanese began their ground offensive in the Philippines. Now, the Japanese efforts continued increasing in intensity and severity during the months that followed. In late February of 1942, President Roosevelt personally sent a message to General MacArthur to proceed as soon as possible to Mindanao in the Philippines. There he was to buttress defenses as best he could and then go on to Australia. Now consider, it would have been tragic had such a vital leader and strategist been captured by the enemy. So the president ordered MacArthur out of the Philippines. And in March 1942, General MacArthur, his family and staff arrived safely in Australia following a dangerous trip of thousands of miles through the enemy lines. Upon arrival, reporters pressed him for a statement. Here it is. The President of the United States ordered me to break through the Japanese lines to proceed to Australia for the purpose, as I understand it, of organizing an American offensive against Japan, the primary object of which is the relief of the Philippines. I came through and, triple number one, I shall return. Now, personally, I think that's probably one of the most commonly quoted words or phrases that Douglas MacArthur ever spoke. But he continues. In his memoirs, he writes, "I spoke casually enough, but the phrase, 'I shall return,' seemed a promise of magic to the Filipinos. It lit a flame that became a symbol, focusing the nation's indomitable will, and at whose shrine it firmly attained victory and once again found direction and freedom. It was scraped in the sands of the beaches. It was daubed on the walls of the barrios. It was stamped on the mail. It was whispered in the cloisters of the church. It became a battle cry of a great underground swell that no Japanese bayonet could silence." Those words became a battle cry, a mantra, and a slogan, unifying the people of the Philippines in a confident expectation that General Douglas MacArthur would return and bring with him their liberation from their foreign oppressor. Well, some weeks later, a brief and faint message radioed from a weak sending station in the Philippines reached General MacArthur. And I quote him, "The words of that message warmed my heart. Your victorious return is the nightly subject of prayer in every Filipino home." Do you see any similarity here? What do we as God's people picture at the Feast of Trumpets? The victorious return of Jesus Christ. Turn with me, please, to John 14, and we're going to read verse 3. John 14, verse 3. Jesus saying here, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." He clearly says, "I will come again." And then in verse 18, "I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you." Jesus is pretty plain about the fact that he's returning. But notice over here in Acts chapter 1, just a couple chapters over, Acts chapter 1, notice verses 9 through 11. Acts 1, verses 9 through 11. This is at Jesus' ascension to heaven. "Now when he had spoken these things, while the disciples watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go up into heaven.'" Well, clearly, Jesus Christ will come again. Do we pray for his return? Well, I hope so. I think we do. Let's move on. Triple number two. Well, the fighting in the Philippines was fierce. Asia in general. Countless U.S. and other allied soldiers lost their lives or suffered atrocious cruelties at the hands of the Japanese. In October 1944, more than 2.5 years later, General Douglas MacArthur and the Allied troops finally would return to the Philippines. He described it this way. The coxswain dropped the ramp about 50 yards from shore, and we waded in. It took me only 30 or 40 long strides to reach dry land, but that was one of the most meaningful walks I ever took. A mobile broadcasting unit was set up. This is what I said. People of the Philippines, and here is triple number two, I have returned. Again, any similarities out there with our situation as Christians in God's church? Let's turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we're going to read verse 16. These are verses that we've just read recently. In verse 16 of chapter 4, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God." Paul here describes the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. But unlike General MacArthur, Jesus Christ has not yet returned to this earth. That event is still future. Let's go over to Revelation, chapter 1. Revelation 1, and in verse 5, we see here that we're discussing Jesus Christ. "From Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Clearly talking about Jesus Christ. But notice verse 7. "Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, and they also who pierced him." Clearly, every eye will see Jesus Christ when he returns. He is coming with clouds. It's not going to be a quiet return. No one will miss it. Recall back in Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. We just read that. Christ was taken up into the clouds, and we are told here he's going to return in the same manner. But let's go back now to Acts, and let's finish the thought. Acts chapter 1, let's finish that passage. We read verses 9 through 11. Let's now read verse 12. Acts chapter 1, verse 12. "Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey." And that was not the verse that I had planned to read. What I wanted to point out here was the fact that they had been at the Mount of Olives. I guess that is the verse I wanted. Scott's just having a senior moment here. From where did Christ ascend? From the Mount of Olives. And that is also where he will return. Let's go back to Zechariah 14. A lot of these verses are going to sound familiar because we heard some of them this morning, or earlier this afternoon. Zechariah 14, let's look at verse 4. Zechariah 14, verse 4. "And in that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, facing Jerusalem on the east." Mount of Olives, that's where Jesus Christ is going to return. But notice, in verses 1 through 3, it speaks of the day of the Lord. "Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst. I will gather all nations to battle against Jerusalem. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, the women ravished, half of the city going into captivity. The remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. When Jesus Christ returns, he will fight. This event is still future. We're still awaiting Christ's return. The Feast of Trumpets reminds us that Christ, he said he would return, and we have faith and confidence that he will. And when he does, he will fight. Now, let's move on to triple number three. General Douglas MacArthur's beachhead broadcast continued. By the grace of Almighty God, our forces stand again on Philippine soil, soil consecrated by the blood of our two peoples. At my side is your president with members of his cabinet. The seat of your government is now firmly reestablished on Philippine soil. The hour of your redemption is here. Here is triple number three. General MacArthur said, rally to me. Rally to me. You know, I remember when I was in high school, we used to have Friday afternoon pep rallies, usually on the day that we would be approaching a big game. Friday night they had football games, and I guess basketball games during the winter time. But at these pep rallies, they'd always present the team to us. The cheerleaders would be there. They'd be trying to boost morale, build spirit, you know, go team, excitement, that sort of thing. That was the idea behind a pep rally. And you know what I mean. I'm not the only one who ever went to high school. Am I? The Random House College Dictionary defines rally this way: to bring to order again, to gather and organize anew, to draw or call together for common action, to concentrate or revive as one strength or spirits, to acquire fresh strength or vigor, to recover from dispersion or disorder as of troops. Well, General MacArthur had kept his promise to return. Now he called upon the people of the Philippines to rally to him, united in a common cause. The war was not yet over. Japan's surrender was still nearly a year away. Well, General MacArthur continued in his remarks, let the indomitable spirit of Bataan and Corregidor lead on. Those were areas in the Philippines where there had been intense fighting, incredible losses for the Allies. That's where the death march occurred, where prisoners were marched 60 to 70 miles. Horrible conditions, captivity, cruelty. 75,000 Allied troops had surrendered there. Incredible losses. It was a terrible thing. But here, General MacArthur called upon the Philippine people to remember those things. Remember those. Rally to me. I think about a cry that was very similar that Mr. Coons mentioned here in a sermon a few weeks ago that was uttered by Americans years ago saying, remember the Alamo. That was a battle cry, a mantra to rally people together in a common cause. General MacArthur said the same thing, rally to me. Does this remind you of anything that will happen when Jesus Christ returns? Well, I've already reminded you, Jesus Christ will fight on that day. But will he do so alone? Turn with me, please, to the book of Mark, chapter 13. Mark 13. We're going to read verses 24 through 27. Mark 14, starting in verse 24. But in those days, after the tribulation, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars of heaven will fall, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send his angels and gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest parts of the earth to the farthest parts of heaven. Christ returning in the clouds. We read about his return in clouds moments ago. But he'd be gathering together from the four winds, from the four directions all around, his troops, his saints. That definition we just read about rallying, it means recovery from dispersion or disorder. That's exactly what Jesus Christ will be doing with his followers. Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Those are very popular scriptures this time of the year. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, notice here, verse 16. We read that already, the beginning part about Christ descending from heaven with the trumpet of God. But in verse 16, the last sentence says, "And the dead in Christ will rise first." The fallen faithful will be resurrected to eternal life. And verse 17, though, Paul writes, "Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord." Always to be together with Jesus Christ. We will rally to his side. Christ's faithful followers, the elect, the called out ones, the ecclesia, the church, they will rally to and around Jesus Christ. Let's regroup a moment here. Let's see where we are, because we have arrived at that which we've been seeking. Remember our title, Between Trumpets and Atonement. Remember our goal here is to find a target, a focus for our thoughts during this time falling between these two bookends of atonement and trumpets. We've looked at what I have called MacArthur's three triples. He said, "I shall return." Jesus Christ made the same promise. MacArthur said, "I have returned." Jesus has not done that yet, but we know he will, and we're waiting and watching, as we were reminded by the Feast of Trumpets. But finally, triple number three, MacArthur said, "Rally to me." And this is what Christians will do then, after Jesus Christ returns, but before the Day of Atonement is fulfilled. This is what will be happening. We just read about that. The fallen faithful will be resurrected. Those who remain, the living faithful, they will be transformed. We heard all these things back at Trumpets. So what about me? Today, 2022, between Trumpets and Atonement, what are my marching orders? General MacArthur got his straight from the president. Where should be my thoughts during this time? Well, I think pretty clearly on my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The first two statements, or what I have called triples, were performed by General MacArthur. He said, "I shall return," and he said, "I have returned." Likewise, Jesus Christ made similar promises. He has done the first. He will do the second one. But that third statement, that third triple, "Rally to me," that wasn't something Douglas MacArthur did. That was a request, a command he gave to his followers in the Philippines. That was something they were to do. That was to be performed by the Filipinos. Likewise, if we're to rally to Jesus Christ, that is something that is for us to do. Jesus Christ doesn't do that. We need to rally to Him. We need to be supportive of Him. We need to be seeking Him. We need to be following Him. We need to be studying and growing closer to Him every day. That's what we should be doing as Jesus Christ's followers. Has Jesus Christ given us any expectations along that line? Well, let's go back to Matthew 24. I really like coming behind Mr. Showers because he takes you every place that we're going to go here, and we're just going to mop up with just a couple little things here afterwards. Matthew 24, in verse 45, Jesus said, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over the household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing." Brethren, isn't that what we want to be doing when Jesus Christ returns? We want to be doing the things that he has told us to do, living as he commands. Finally, let's go to Galatians chapter 6 to read some words from the Apostle Paul. Galatians 6, verse 9. Paul says here, "Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Do not get weary in well-doing, doing well, doing the right things that we should be. Continue. Don't lag. Be vigilant about it. Don't get tired. Well, brethren, we began today in search of any particular goal or target to be our focus during this time period, falling between trumpets and atonement. We began with Christ's promised return to this earth at the fulfillment pictured by the Feast of Trumpets. And we've been reminded that before the fulfillment of the events pictured by the next holy day, Atonement, occur, Christ's followers will rally to Him, to His side, to His feet. So during these days approaching Atonement, I believe my focus needs to be on drawing ever nearer to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, rallying ever closer to my soon coming King, Jesus Christ.